But let's get into another part of the series called Up Close and Personal. And you know what I noticed, and this is really something that God put in my heart last night, even as I was preaching it. Just when I was preaching last night, this really came to my heart. And it's amazing that when we come to a point to be up close and personal, and really walking in a desire to come close to God. You know what the Bible says? That He is the light of the world. Folks, what happens when you come into and up close to light? Things in our lives are exposed. When you come up close and personal, God, you are coming up close and personal to the light of the world, to the very light. That is bright light. And there are things, which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. When you come close to light and you begin to see how coming close to God reveals different things in our lives that maybe He's just not appreciative, or things that are against the truth of God's word. If you are a truth seeker, one who says, I need truth in my life, then we go right to here. Knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Knowing that Jesus said this right here, your word is truth. There's times that we are going to get close to God. And being very close to light, things in our lives are going to be exposed. And it could be a very personal thing. I'm not saying publicly. I'm saying exposed between me and my Father. And man, He so lovingly and caringly and gracefully and compassionately wants to get us in a position that we are so willing to be cleansed and so willing to cut things from our lives that are not pleasing to Him. Man, it's powerful when you see it that way. And that's what takes place when you become up close and personal. And this morning we're going to talk about a lady called Mary Magdalene. Now, Magdalene is not her last name. Magdalene is the city and the village where she actually lived, called Magdala. And that's kind of attached, like Jesus the Nazarene, right? From Nazareth. So if you could open up to two places, please. Luke chapter 8, and John 19. Put a marker in John 19, verse 25. Put a marker there, and then flip over to Luke 8. And we're going to talk about one. Please hear this. Who understood what it was when she had a life change because of Jesus. Everything in her world changed. We're going to see one who understood what it was to really come before Christ after a life change, being in the very presence of Jesus. There's two quality traits we see with this Mary. Number one, she became very generous. She served the Lord and His disciples. She became very generous with her time, treasure, and talents. She also was one who's pegged to be very loyal. Very loyal to Jesus. Faithful, devoted, committed. That's who she was. Let's pray and ask God to move in this place. Father, we thank You for Your word. It is alive and it is powerful. God, it has the ability to speak things in our lives that cause us to be closer to You, to understand You and to know You on a deeper level. God, it is our desire to know You on a deeper level. God, that we would increase in our knowledge of You. God, that we would draw close to You and draw near to You, God, to know You on a deeper level, know You from Your word. God, You've given us everything we need right here in Your word that defines You and who You are, and that we would have a desire to know You. Father, let us have an ear to hear this morning. Let our eyes see what we need to see in this place, God. Please, Father, we come in here hungry to seek after You and seek after truth. Father, I ask that by Your Holy Spirit, You pinpoint this message directly into the heart of man this morning. And God, You know the condition of every heart in this place. And God, that You would speak so clearly to every heart exactly what they need today. Folks, I'm asking you, ask God. Please ask God. God, speak to me this morning. God, I'm here. I'm hungry for truth. God, I need Your word this morning. God, speak to me this morning. God, speak to me this morning. You have the ability to hear from the Creator of the universe today. It's a desire to speak into your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, we're going to have a testimony, and I want you to hear this testimony, please.
I'm Debbie Pound. I am a mother of two beautiful boys. I'm the oldest of four children, a wife of a wonderful husband, and I'm a follower and a lover of Jesus Christ. I was born and raised basically in a Christian home, and so I knew that that Christ offered salvation to us. I don't know at that point in time, even when I was in sixth grade when I asked Christ into my life, I think I strongly believed in him, but until I was really an adult, I understood what walking with Christ really meant. Through the period of time that I wasn't really walking with the Lord, I know that he was still there, although he wasn't in my mind, I know I was in his mind. And I think he just slowly started opening my eyes to how I needed to have that relationship back. When you do realize that Jesus gave everything for us, he didn't hold back anything, and if we were the only person on this earth, he would have come and died for us. He really doesn't ask a lot from us. He asks us to have a willing servant heart. He asks us to be humble and to be his hands and feet. Anything that I can do, I know that whatever I do to others, I'm doing as unto him. As far as any kind of thing that I've done, it's just been a part of me. I guess that's a part that he's always put inside of me, is to want to be involved in things and to do that. And I think mostly because that's what I feel he's called us all to do as his disciples, is to be the example, to be the hands and feet. It's caring for people, and when you care for people, you want to be involved in their lives, you want to help. I love my church. I want to help in any way that I can in the church. I want to see new people come in. I want to see the people that are there grow. And anything that I can do, any way that I can serve to make that happen, I want to do that.
Come on, amen. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Man, I hope you caught that, because she said some life-changing stuff right there. When you know that he had nothing back from you, he has held nothing back from you. How do we repay that? How do we come with a debt of gratitude to come before the one who has held nothing back? That we owe him everything, folks. And then she said something that truly, if you understood this, that even when he wasn't in my mind, I was in his. Know that. She said, listen, there was a season when he wasn't in my mind, but I have always been in his mind. Folks, that's powerful right there. That's life-changing stuff. If you get that, it's worth being here this morning. You get that from her testimony. That was great watching her husband. Man, I know, Darren, and he walked out of this place saying, that's my wife. And she has humbled me today. That's from her husband. Bragging about his wife. And I love that. Any man who brags about his wife, that's biblical. Proverbs 31 says a man should praise his wife publicly. And he said, that's my bride. Again, when you understand, even when he is not in our mind, you are in his. And the Bible says in Psalm 139 that he thinks about you more than there are the sands of the sea. If you've ever been to the beach and you just hold up one handful of sand and try to count the sand in just one, you're nuts. Don't do that. Waste your whole vacation. Don't do that. But just know, you look at that one beach. The Bible says that the creator of the universe has thought about you more than all the sands of the sea. What? That's amazing. That's the God we worship and serve. That's the God that we stand in awe of this morning as a church. Come on, I want to get into this up close and personal. Psalm 25, this is our theme verse for up close and personal series. And I honestly, I'm not sure when this series is going to end. It has been so powerful. And we have had so many great praise reports from this series. We're just going to keep rolling with our up close and personal. And as God leads us, we're going to keep going. And our next series in this church is our family series. You do not want to miss this next series. Man, you want to invite people to this next series. It's going to be powerful. Look at this theme verse, Psalm 25, 4 and 5. It's up on the screen. Could you imagine where this is? Make me know your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me. Just think about that right there. This is from a hungry heart. This is from David's heart, who is starving for God, who's saying, God, I am open and I am before you. And God, I am asking you that you would make me know your ways. God, I'm asking you, God, to teach me your paths. God, I'm asking you to lead me. God, teach me. God, I'm hungry for you. God, I want to know you on a deeper level. God, I want to increase in my understanding of you. God, I'm so wide open to hear from you. God, I'm so wide open that you would teach me. I'm so wide open that you would show me. I'm so wide open that you would lead me. God, I want to know you on a different level. That's what he's saying. For what he say? For you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait. For you, I hope. For you, I look. For you, I expect all the day. Gang, that is walking in a relationship. If you get that, if you understand that in this series, that you're crying out to God, God, I want you to lead me. I want you to teach me. I want you to show me, God. I want to know you on a different level. Man, it's worth it. It's worth it. This morning, we're going to talk about a young woman named Mary. Mary from Magdala, Luke 8, verse 1. And this is you see these different groups. You see the one group is a more of a distant group that they when Jesus showed up, man, they just surrounded Jesus and they followed Jesus and they were looking to they heard that he was the healer, they heard that he was the one who cast out demons, they heard that he was the one who calmed the sea, they heard that of his absolute power and his authority, and they would wait for Jesus on the shores. They would wait for Jesus and they would crowd around Jesus. That's one group. Everywhere he went, there was a new group. And then you have his 12 disciples that traveled with Jesus. They went with Jesus everywhere he went. There were the 12. And then you had this group of women. This was the secondary group. You've got the 12 disciples who traveled with Jesus. And then you've got this secondary group of women that you don't know too much about. But we learn a lot from them and their action and how Jesus responded to Mary. And she was one who went village to village and place to place. The Bible says serving and ministering to Jesus and his disciples. And there is a small group of women who did that. There's a small group of women here that ministered and served. And the word it means minister here, it means to care for. They took care of Jesus. And they took care of the disciples. This is huge. Look at this. Verse 1, soon afterwards he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also, look at this, going from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. 12 were with him, and also that were with him, that were traveling with him around from city to city, village to village, some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sickness, Mary who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. There was a point where Jesus met her somewhere and recognized that she is under this demonic oppression. I would imagine, gang, that one demon is plenty, right? I mean, seriously, you're thinking, okay, one is just way too many for me. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to battle. I'm not going to go after. Listen, gang, please hear this. As the head of my house, I cover my family every single day. God, that you would cover my family. God, that you would cover my marriage. God, that you would cover my children in the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because they overcame him. That's the enemy. By what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. God, I know that no weapon formed against me or my family will prosper. God, I know that Jesus on that cross defeated the enemy and rendered him powerless by the work of the cross. And I'm telling you what, day after day, I cover my family. Day after day, I cover my team that serves in this church and their family and their kids. And I cover this church. Knowing that, man, I don't want to deal with one demon, let alone 7. You can imagine the torment that this woman was in. You could imagine the insanity at times that she must have felt. You could imagine the depression at times that she must have felt having 7 demons that have taken her over. And Jesus shows up and frees her and liberates her from 7 demons. By his authority, by his word. I would love to know that scene. I would love to know how he just came up to this woman who was so cast down and so broken and so hopeless and so under such oppression from 7 demons. And with his authority, over and over we see in Scripture his authority, but we only give a smidge, man. The end of John tells us that if everything Jesus did and said was written down, we wouldn't have enough books to contain them. So I could just imagine this is just one scene of so many different scenes where Jesus showed up and his authority came and said, out, gone, no more, release her, done, finished. You don't know where he placed these seven demons, but he has authority over the enemy. It's incredible when you see that in Scripture. And he frees this woman. She's one that's in the group. And when the group is mentioned, guess who's mentioned first? Mary from Magdala is mentioned first when she leads these women. You can imagine what she must have felt when she understood what it was to finally and forever be free from torment of these seven demons. And we see, look at this response. And Joanna, the wife of Shuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing, hear this now, contributing to their support out of their private means. Somehow, some way, these women had funds. And we know that Mary from Magdala, Magdala was a village and a city. It was on the Sea of Galilee, and it was a city that was prosperous, industry city. Somehow, she had funds. Somehow she had finances. And her debt of gratitude when she understood that she has been set free, we know very little about her. We don't know if she's married. We don't know if she had kids. We don't know her age, but we do know that when she was set free, she followed Jesus. That's what we know. We do know that when she was delivered from her seven demons, we know that from that delivery, she became a disciple. From her freedom, she became a follower. This is what we do know. And she went place to place with Jesus, serving him and taking care of his needs, and out of her own needs, being generous to advancing the kingdom of God. Folks, one of her character traits was that she was generous with her time, treasure, and talents. You understand that you and I are called to be generous? You and I are to take on and imitate the very character of God. When we understand this in Ephesians 5:1, to be imitators of God, for God so loved the world, he gave. Recognizing God gives good gifts, that one of his character traits is generous. Folks, if people were to examine your life, would they look at you and say, man, that person is a generous person? Man, they just look to give. They look for that opportunity to be able to give. And they are generous. Man, she gave up anything that she once had. She just said, okay, I'm going to put this thing on the shelf and I'm just going to follow this guy. I'm going to go after and I'm going to follow. I'm going to serve him. When she understood what it was to be free, gang, when you and I understand what it is that we are free in all that Jesus has done for us, what do we give back? And that's a matter of the heart. That's, God didn't say, okay, I did this for you, therefore you owe me. That's not God. But man, when you understand what he did for you, there is this sense that I just want to give him everything about me for all that he has freed me from. And it is a desire, folks. And she understood that. Look, come on, Hebrews 13 says this. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. When we are going to be generous, we need to be generous back to God in a way of giving thanks. This is what we do week in and week out, man. Saturday, Sunday, we come in and give thanks. Praise means to give thanks. It means to honor, adore, exalt, lift high. That's what we do in our time of worship. Worship isn't about you. If you walk out of a worship service, anywhere you go and say, well, I didn't get much out of that. Hey, knucklehead, that it wasn't for you to get anything from. It was for you to give to God, that you would come to a place to be amazed and stand in awe of God to give thanks to him. Man, it rubs me the wrong way when someone walks out of a worship set, a praise set. I didn't get anything out of that. You don't understand praise and worship because it's not about you. It's about God and us coming to a place with the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks. And please understand, when you come in with the right heart to give thanks, man, God will honor that. And there are times that you will walk out and you know that God has dealt with you and you know that God has spoken to you and you know that God's love has overtaken you. And it's just, that's powerful when it takes place in a worship and praise time. But that's not the intent, folks. You come in and say, God, it is all about you. And then there are times, so many times, that God will bless you in that. It's just incredible. But what is one thing that we can be generous with? continually, over and over. Gang, that is not just Saturday and Sunday, man. That is again and again and again, day after day after day after day, that we come to a place before Him on our face to be amazed by Him and to stand in awe of Him and to be thankful, and that continually, day after day, offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And now look at this. And He says this, and do not neglect doing good and sharing. Don't neglect your time, your talents, and your treasures. Doing good and sharing. And look at the result. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Wow. You realize you have the ability to please God, and it's how we do good and we share. Are you pegged as one who's generous with your time, talents, and treasures? People look at you, gang, I have been a police officer for over 21 years, being in ministry for so many years, I have narrowed it down to two types of people, givers and takers. I mean, that's simple. You can look at people and look at their motive and their intent. Some people are great givers, but their intent is selfish. Some people give only for a tax break. If it wasn't for a tax break, they'd hold on to their cash as hard as they could. There's two types of people, those who give and those who take. Which one you think we're called to be when we understand all that God has done for us and understand that we owe Him everything, and everything about us belongs to Him? That we should come to a place to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise for lips to give thanks to His name, and do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Galatians 6:10 says this. Now this is huge. I want you to see this. So then, while we have opportunity, do you understand that time is short and time just keeps ticking and time just keeps going and going and going and going? And while we have opportunity, that means there will be a day that your opportunity is over. That's what that means. While we have opportunity, let us what? Let us do good to all people, and especially to those of the household of faith. Listen, this church, we love to hire people who understand Christ. We love to, when we're doing work around this building, around the property, we love to hire people who know Jesus and serve Jesus and love Jesus and walk in faith. Those are the ones that we love to give our money to. But please understand, if they come in and do a crap job, they're not getting the next job. Just because they're a Christian don't mean that they can slack. That's not the deal. You should walk in excellence as a believer to do the very best job you can all the time. So when we understand this, we look at those who are part of Believer's Chapel. We look at the families who come to this church. We look to those outside the church who truly love Jesus and they're a part of the family of God. They don't have to be Believer's Chapel, but they're a part of the body as a whole. Those are the ones we really look to bless and care for and encourage and build. And then allow God to move in such a way that they're bringing in the hopeless, the broken, the hurting, bringing in the lost to this place so that we can encourage and build them as well. But we're take it after this pattern right here. While we have an opportunity. Gang, what are you doing with your opportunity that God has given you? Are you one who says, man, in me being generous, as me who's walking in a way, who understand all that God has done for me, to understand all that Jesus has done for me on the cross, to know that I have been set free, to know that I have an eternity forever with Him in heaven? Am I looking for the opportunity to be generous? There are those who just, man, they wake up and say, God, open the door for me. Today's the day. How can I be generous today? How can I take advantage of every opportunity you give me today? Man, that is one who is so keened in, man. That is one who is so focused on what it is to bless and be a blessing. For Jesus Himself said, it is better to give than to receive. Acts 20:35, we don't see it in the gospel. Somewhere along the way, Jesus said that, and they quote Him in it. In Acts 20:35, it is better to give than to receive. That's from the lips of our King, who knew what it was to give everything. It's huge. Come on, Proverbs 22 says this, last one. He who is generous will be blessed. He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Folks, you want to be blessed? Who is the one who brings the blessing? God Himself. God Himself. Time, treasures, and talents. We're not taking up an offering after this. I'm not asking you for money. We are blessed, man. I'm pumped for that. But I'm asking you, when people look into your world, are you pegged as one who is generous? Are you pegged as one who walks in the very character of God and what it is to give? to know what it is to give your time, your treasure, and your talents, to understand what it is. God, I know your hand is, God, I am blessed. And a part of this is he who is generous will be blessed. Please, Believer's Chapel understands there's a huge difference between the poor and the lazy. Huge difference between the poor and the lazy. Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. Put that right over social services. See how that goes for you. I'm telling you. Huge difference between those who can't work and those who truly are poor, or those who are working and trying to make every ends meet and they just can't. And they're diligent, man. They are diligent. And there's the lazy who just are takers, 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 takers. You know who we're supposed to care for? You know who God instructs us to care for? Those who are poor. You know what God says? You will be blessed. Oh, people, I want God's hand on me. I want God's hand on this church. I want God's hand on you, and I want you to be blessed. And you know who's blessed? The generous. Isn't that an amazing system that when you are so generous with your time, talent, and treasures, you are then blessed? Come on, it's huge. It's huge. Come on, we got to get into this. Please go to John 19, please. So we see the first character trait of one who was up close and personal with Jesus, one who understood what it was to be set free. As everyone who walks in a way of recognizing that Jesus has set every one of us free, we recognize what it is to be once lost in our sin, having a place of absolute damnation in hell, but now because of Jesus, now because we have repented and believed, now because we've asked Christ into our lives, confessing our sin before the Father, recognizing that Jesus is alive and well, knowing what he's done for us, everyone who understands that knows I've been set free. So we walk in the same shoes as Mary from Magdala, understanding what it is to be liberated, understanding what it is to be free. And man, she immediately followed Jesus. She immediately wanted to serve Jesus. She immediately laid down everything from her past and say, I am going to follow you and serve you and care for your disciples. Incredible. We understood what it was. One of her character traits became generous. And then her second character trait that I see, because we don't see her again until Jesus is on a cross. Please hear this. She traveled with Jesus. She saw his authority. She saw his words that pierced hearts. She saw his miracles. She understood who he was in coming from the authority of God and one who has never been able to do these acts before, ever, anywhere in here. Could you imagine all the things that she's heard? Could you imagine all the times that Jesus, in his 100% being a man, was completely worn out, physically worn out, where this group of women would cook and would clean and take care of everything for Jesus, to build energy, to continue to go build the kingdom, continue to go out and do what God has put Jesus here to do. Amazing to get himself to that place. And all the things that she must have experienced, all the things that she must have seen, drawing her closer and closer and closer and closer to Jesus. And then we see her here in verse 25 of John 19. But standing by the cross of Jesus, or his mother's sisters, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and there she is, Mary Magdalene. Here she followed Jesus. She saw the arrest. She saw what it was in the whipping. She saw what it was in these trials. She saw what it was when the crowds are just crying out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. She was there, nails going in his hands and his feet. Where are the disciples? John was here, and only John was here. The disciples abandoned their king. Where's Mary? Right at the feet of Jesus. Folks, this is so amazing when you understand who she is in this. There is this quality and character trait of loyalty in Mary Magdalene. When everyone else fled, there she is at the feet of Jesus. When everyone else took off and turned their back on Jesus, where's Mary? Right at the feet of Jesus. Folks, what is it to be faithful? What is it to be devoted? What is it to be loyal? Could you imagine one day, man, unless Jesus returns, every one of us will experience death, and I could totally be okay at my funeral that they only pegged me with two character traits. Man, he was so generous. Or man, she was so generous. Man, he was loyal. Man, he knew what it was to be devoted. He knew what it was to be committed. He knew what it was to be faithful. I would, oh, that would be beautiful. What it is to be loyal to God. What it is to be loyal to your family. Gang, you put that in priority. You come to a place that, God, I am all in. I am totally devoted to you. God, I will be faithful and committed to you. God, I will be loyal to you, to your cause, to what you have called me to do. And God, I will be loyal to my wife and to my children. God, I will be devoted and committed to my wife and to my children. And you understand what it is to walk in a sense of loyalty. When everyone else bails, there's Mary right there at the feet of Jesus, weeping and crying out for the one that she's so tired. I could imagine one who just has served and cared for and loved in such a way. Oh, how I'm sure she wanted to take care of his wounds, and I'm sure she wanted to do everything she could to wipe the blood off. Then we see another part of the Gospels where somehow, some way in this period that Jesus is on the cross, at one point she's at the feet of Jesus, and then at another point, the Bible says she had to watch from a distance. Whether the soldiers pushed her away, whether the soldiers said, you've got to move, whether the soldiers said, this thing is over, whether the soldiers, there was a point, but look at this. She didn't turn her back and walk away. There was a point that she parked herself to keep her eyes on Jesus. There was a point that she parked herself at a distance with such incredible loyalty, saying, I'm not taking my eyes off him. And she and a group of women went to a place that the Bible says that they were at a distance, but yet they watched. Could you imagine then when Joseph of Arimathea began to take down Jesus' limp, dead body? And then the Bible says this is amazing, that this group of women with the leader, Mary Magdalene, beginning to follow Joseph and begin to follow Nicodemus, who carried the body of Jesus. I need to know where they're going to bury him. I need to know where they're going to take him. I need to see the tomb. Because she had a point, the very earliest opportunity, she was going to the tomb to wipe his body down with spices and oils. You talk about one who was there to the very end. You talk about one who was loyal. You talk about one who understood what it was to be set free. You talk about one who recognized Jesus and all that he did for her. Everyone else bailed. Where's Mary? There at the feet of Jesus. Where's Mary? Pushed to a distance, but yet eyes on Jesus. Where's Mary? Bodies off the cross, and Mary begins to follow, to know where they're burying him. You talk about dedication, you talk about commitment, you talk about being faithful, you talk about one who understood what it was to be loyal even past the end. And we see this in John 20, this is amazing. Mark 16:9 gives us incredible light, folks, to how Jesus felt about Mary. How Jesus understood her generosity. How Jesus understood her service and her ministering to him and his team. How Jesus understood her loyalty. Out of all the people, please hear this, this is huge. Out of all the people that Jesus could appear to after his resurrection, he didn't go to his mother. He didn't go to his family, being brothers and sisters. He didn't go to Peter, James, and John, who were the top three. The first person he made a point to make an appearance to was Mary from Magdala. What an honor. How amazing is that? The very first person that Jesus appeared to was Mary. And he gives her this incredible instruction. Come on, I want to see this. Mary goes to the tomb. She doesn't actually make it to the tomb. John 20, we got to fly. John 20 shows that she goes. She sees the tomb is empty. She takes off she takes off after John and Peter. The rest go to the tomb, see the tomb. She hasn't even been at the tomb yet. Saw that it was open, took off and ran, gets John and Peter. John and Peter come back to the tomb. Mary Magdalene follow them to the tomb, and here she is. They look in, they check it out, they leave, and here's Mary flying solo at the tomb. And she's a wreck, man. She is in tears and she is weeping. This has been so hard on her. And John 20 gives us this picture. This is amazing. Verse 11. But Mary standing outside the tomb. Please, gang, it's 10:30. Please just give me 5 minutes, man. Come on, you got to see this. This is incredible. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Verse 13. And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And she said, she had said this, and she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? From whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she says to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, and this is amazing, she calls her by name. He says, Mary. Here he's already spoke to her. And then he calls her by name. And at this point, her eyes are open to see. What was she like in that moment right then? When she recognized her risen Savior, her risen Lord, the one that she served, the one that she ministered to, the one that she was so generous to, the one that she was so loyal to, stands before her alive. Man, Bible says she grasped for him, and Jesus said, hold back on that. Knowing that Jesus appeared to her first, verse 18, he tells her, you need to go to the disciples and tell them. Folks, it's incredible that he put the very first announcement that he is alive from a human point of view. The angel said it, but from a human, but the very first person and flesh to see that he was alive, he gave her the assignment to tell and announce that you have seen the Lord. Could you imagine this? And here she, in verse 18, Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. She comes running. I mean, you could imagine now, from a place of weeping and brokenness and hurt and pain, from the loss of a loved one, to a point to recognize he is. She heard him speak. She heard him preach. She heard about the 3 days. She heard about the temple. She understood what it was. And now, standing before her is the one who was resurrected, the one who freed her from 7 demons, the one who told her this was going to take place. And she beelines for the disciples with the announcement, I have seen the Lord. Folks, what is it in our lives that we would be known to be up close and personal with God, with Christ, with the Spirit of God, and all that He has done for us, to walk in a sense, to be so generous with our time, talents, and treasures, and to walk in a sense that we would be so loyal to Him, be so committed and be so faithful to Him. Let's close our eyes, please. Folks, what is it this morning? What is it, please? What is it this morning that you would come and you would say, man, all that for me, all that Jesus has done for me, all that God did for me, man, my heart just wants to really give Him everything about me. Everything I think, say, and do, man, belongs to Him. And we listen, there's no way we walk in perfection, but man, our goal day after day is, God, I am all in. You got all of me. God, show me how I can be so generous with all that You've given me, God. You have blessed me in so many different ways, God, and how do I come to a place to be a blessing and to give? Because I want to serve You. God, what is it in my sense of loyalty? God, will people look at me? God, how do You see me? Do You see me one who is faithful to You? Who is so committed to You and to Your work? I'm so devoted to You as my King and my Savior and Lord. God, I'm so devoted to my wife. So faithful to my wife. I'm so loyal to my wife. So devoted to my husband. I'm so faithful to my man. I'm so committed to him. God, I'm so faithful to my children, the gifts that You've given me, God, that I would show myself so faithful to them. And so committed and devoted to my children, God. And a mother would say, God, these amazing gifts that You've given to me as their mom, their caretaker, God, their homemaker, the one that You've given to me, these gifts that You've given to me. God, what am I doing with these gifts? Am I devoted and loyal to these amazing kids that You've given me? God, am I faithful to the very gifts that You've given me to raise them and train them and teach them and love them and care for them? Does that pin me, God? Is that who I am? God, when I become up close and personal to You, God, I'm drawn near to light. And when I come close to light, There are things that you reveal in my life. Am I generous? And am I loyal? God, I pray, Father, please. As we draw near to you, Father. As we draw close to you, God. You would reveal things in our lives. God, I pray for the marriages in this place. I pray for moms and dads in this place this morning. God, that we would see what it is to be loyal in our marriage, to be devoted and faithful, to be committed to our wives, to our husbands. God, we would see the very precious gifts that you've given us. God, that is while we have an opportunity. God, that is such limited time with our kids. God, that is a season that we know comes to an end. We know they go on and they do their own thing. We know they have their own life to live, God. And in that opportune time that you've given us, what are we doing with our kids, God? Do we show ourselves faithful? Do we show ourselves committed to this opportunity? God, is that who we are? Oh, God, reveal in us, please, God, by your Spirit, move in our hearts now, God, and reveal what you need to show us today. Jesus, please. Oh, God, that we would seek truth. And truth would transform our lives to know that you are for us. And that your good is for us, God. Father, we love you so much and we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.